You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Welcome to Pure Nintendo's fifth KoopaCast podcast. KoopaCast. Podcast is redundant. KoopaCast. and I'm here again with some awesome guys. We'll start from the left with Ben and let everyone introduce yourselves.
Hey, everyone. Like James just said, I'm Ben. And I do a lot of the social media, like you learned last week. And I guess I'm not sure if we have to do a fun fact this week.
Favorite movie.
Oh, favorite movie. Crash. I love the movie Crash.
Good movie. Good movie.
Yeah.
All right, I'm James, and I do whatever James stuff on the site. And my favorite movie is Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory. Not Charlie, Willy. You got to go to Willy.
Nice.
All right, I'm Justin. I'm the assistant editor on the website, and I also do some writing for the magazine, and my favorite movie is American Beauty. And just so everybody knows, I'm also known as Jay Money. I don't know if I mentioned that, but anyways, just so we don't get confused.
Nice. Hey, everyone. I'm Justin, other Justin, and I'm the founder of the website and do the magazine, design on the website, anything. Anyways, my favorite movie, I think last time I said Gladiator, but I think Dumb and Dumber is this week's pick.
So. Yes.
There you go.
Not to be confused with Dumb and Dumber-er.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Yeah. Oof.
All right, and I'm Matt. I'm here. I do things. Sometimes on Pure Nintendo.
He did these lower thirds that are nice.
Yep, I did the lower thirds.
There you go.
And my favorite movie, I'm still going to hold it to Seven Samurai. I've got it right here.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Visual.
Yeah.
And we had Eli, but he's having internet issues. He won't be
too bad.
But I have to start out this podcast eating my words that I've said for a long time. I know I've talked about this in podcasts, but I did it more in person with you guys, how I wasn't really a big fan of Mario Brothers U because I've played it four other times on the 3DS and Wii. And I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just wasn't excited for it. But I started playing it two nights ago. It's absolutely fantastic. It's one of my favorite games on the Wii U. I even laid on my bed last night, 20 feet away, other room, and was just playing it on the gamepad, and it was a magical experience.
Yeah.
So it's coming from one of my least favorite games on the Wii U to my favorite games on the Wii U in two days.
Whoa!
Very nice.
I just had to give it a chance. The levels are fun. All the new suits are fun. It's just all around. I haven't played multiplayer yet just by myself. But...
Awesome. James, I'm going to have to join you in my own words from last week as well. You and I discussed this, that last week I was talking about Chasing Aurora on the eShop and said that the single player wasn't that great. Well, it's last week I played quite a bit of the single player, and it turns out it gets better as you go on. So apologies to Broken Rules. The single player is getting better.
Thanks.
I have nothing to apologize for.
Sorry, I was just reading on Twitter. Apparently there's another Japanese Nintendo Direct tonight.
Oh.
and it's 2 hours.
Oh,
goodness. It's probably going to be some handheld differentiation thing. This is the DS. The 3DS has 3D. Dual screens.
But 2 hours. Holy crap.
Over again.
Yeah.
The different handhelds will be displayed using colored balls and cylinders again.
This color ball represents this one.
Anyways, talking about the Nintendo Directs, I'm assuming you guys all caught it. I caught half of it and then caught up on videos later.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, some of the big things is Pikmin 3 is actually pushed probably out of the launch window.
Yeah.
Any thoughts? Like, I tweeted this earlier. Like, I'm fine with it because each time we see Pikmin, it looks even better.
Yeah.
As long as they keep making it better, I'm fine with them pushing it back.
I mean, Justin, we were just saying, I'm not even mad that some of these games are getting pushed back. We have so many titles right now that I'm just, like, trying to keep up with everything, you know? So, I mean, fine with me for now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was mad at first because I was like, you know, because I wanted it launch day. That was the one game I was looking forward to for the Wii U launch. And then I got pushed back to the launch window and I was like, oh, it's not going to be till like November of next year. But I bought 2 more Wii U games today. So it's fine if it's delayed. I've got plenty to play.
Well, and there's so much to do in some of these Wii U games that, because, like, Scribblenauts Unlimited, I think they said this last week, that there's so much in that game that I don't know if I'm going to be able to ever finish it all.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff to do in that game.
Yeah. So, yeah, and think about all the other games. I mean, usually at a console launch, we don't have the wealth of games like Assassin's Creed 3, Darksiders 2, you know, a bunch of 20, 30-hour games. So... Mm-hmm. You know, you have like 5 or 6 of those in the launch lineup. So.
Yeah, like we were talking about, me, you, and Ken were talking about Far Cry coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to get to because I'm finishing up Black Ops. I have to start Assassin's Creed. I'm now playing Mario. Like, those are 100 hours or so right there. Like, I'm not going to get to Far Cry until who knows when.
Yeah. Yep.
So I agree with you that it's probably not a bad thing that Pikmin got pushed back. Again.
Yeah. And yeah, it is looking better, you know, every time we see it. And I'm hoping the multiplayer expands more. They've talked about, you know, some local multiplayer they don't want to do online because of frame rate issues or stuff like that. But I'm hoping the multiplayer options are really, you know, in depth, like not just a time attack or something like that, you know, have a bunch of different modes.
All right, let me run through these highlights from the Nintendo Direct. You guys can interrupt me if I'm wrong. I kind of just try to gather these together. Google Street View is coming to the Wii U gamepad. I'm not
that
sure exactly.
So cool to me.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that. I was hoping that would come out today, but I guess, you know, I can wait till the new year.
When is the release date? Awesome. Like, did they say?
They said first. It said first part of 2013. They kept alternating between like quarter one, quarter two, spring, and then
early.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why I have January question mark, but that's the first part.
It better be January.
Yeah, it better be. It seems like it wouldn't be that hard, and it seems like the functionality he showed, I mean, what else do you need? So,
yeah.
Anyways, just put it out there.
I want one of those head-mounted cameras that Iwata had.
Yeah.
What would be cool is if you can take what you look up on your Wii U and take it on download it to like your 3DS, so you can have the directions to go.
Mm.
That'd be cool. Yeah, well, I was kind of
get out a pen and paper.
Yeah.
What is a pen and paper?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping they would talk some about the 3DS and, you know, maybe that 3DS update from last night would have enabled like Nintendo Network IDs on the 3DS or something like that. Because I still have the problem right now. I have my original 3DS and my XL, and I haven't transferred everything because I want to wait till I can just log in with my ID and just get it on both systems, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that happens soon.
And another thing the Game and Wario? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? 16 games, and it only uses the gamepad. And that should be outported, too. What do you think of that? What is it, five people can play? And you just hand around the gamepad? I wasn't very impressed with it during the Nintendo, the Wii U experience. I don't know how many of you guys played that.
Yeah, I didn't get any time with that.
Yeah, I just played it a little bit, but, you know, it's fairly... You know, I liked some of the WarioWare games, mm-hmm. But it seems like, you know, they're kind of mixing Game & Watch, WarioWare, and the name. So some of them are WarioWare inspired, but, you know, like 5-second minigames. Yeah. But then some are trying to be like Wii Fit type minigames where, you know, you're skiing or you're, you know, doing a snowball fight or something. So I don't know. You know, at 16 mini games, you know, there may be like one of those that's like really addicting, you know, kind of like Wii Play was, but I don't know, right now it doesn't look too interesting.
I feel like I'd have to be really won over for this game. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about the game just from what I saw in the Nintendo Direct, but even the one game they showed where you're like the kid playing in bed, I almost think I would get a little bit annoyed by having to like hide the gamepad whenever the mother walks in. I'm like, I want to play the game. Like, I don't know. I guess I'd have to actually try the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it seems just very simplistic. And Wii Fit U at the Wii U experience was interesting. They had some games that looked pretty silly, but were pretty fun, you know, how they executed them. I don't know how many of you guys have played the you hold the game pad like a tray, like you're a waiter, and you get these items from the chef, and you have to take them to the tables that ordered it, and so you're walking around, and you're having to balance all these things on the game pad, and it's pretty fun. Like you bump into people, and it was pretty fun.
Yeah, Wii Fit has 77 activities, and it'll be out the first part of 2013.
Yeah.
So that can be anywhere between January and June.
Yeah. I could see that one selling really well. Just, you know, 77 mini games. It sounds like they're packing in a lot of the games from, you know, the original Wii Fit and Wii Fit Plus. And then with, you know, some of the new ones that they had, you know, it's a nice little package, especially if you already have the balance board. You know, if it's just going to be $50 or, you know, whatever, $60, that's not too bad.
Oh, wasn't Wii Fit Plus like 30?
Yeah, it was discounted, so.
Yeah, but maybe, I don't know, could be 30. And we have Luigi Mansion Spring 2013. Now, this is a game I'm tired of being, I don't want to say it hasn't really been pushed back because it hasn't really been a release date, but it should have been out a long time ago. Yeah. But it's still looking better each time they show it, but it still should have been out a long, long time. Now they're saying the spring of 2013, so March-ish. And then Brain Age Concentration Training, February 10th.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen or played those Brain Age games. Are those any good? Has anybody played those?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like them a lot. Mm-hmm. I played the first Brain Age and then Brain Age 2. I played a little bit of Big Brain Academy, which I think was an offshoot. But then the one that they had on the Wii was interesting too. It even used like the balance board some, didn't it? Or no, I think that was a Wii Fit minigame. Never mind. But it was interesting. It was fun for like a group of people.
I do work out your brain, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I did feel sharper after playing it. You know, you do all these math problems in, you know, 20 seconds or something. So it's got some fun little things and memory games. And, you know, I'm kind of wondering what they'll do with the concentration training because they've already done memory and math and matching and stuff like that. So,
well, and I guess they keep saying that because I'm assuming this is similar to the one they released in Japan or whatever, and that it's supposed to be a lot more difficult than the previous games.
Oh. Yeah.
That's good.
Yep, and you can see, like, even the doctor has, like, the devil horns or whatever. And they said the game is supposed to dynamically adjust the difficulty. So, you know, let's say you've played the old Brain Age games and it's pretty easy to start off, it'll step you up really quick.
Oh, nice.
So it's like, oh, you know how to do these math problems quick already. You've done it before. Let's give them harder ones. Let's give them more division or multiplication, I think. But
And we had Fire Emblem Awakening with February 4th. I've actually never played a Fire Emblem game. It actually looks really good.
Yeah, yeah. They're a lot of fun. The one I played was on the GameCube, I think Path of Radiance. And they're kind of like Advance Wars games, if you've played those. You guys played those?
Yes. I played a copy of game for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, they're similar to those. Kind of like, you know, even that Ghost Recon game that was at the launch of the 3DS, where you're kind of in control of your characters, and it's turn-based, and you have to move them on a grid. And then it goes into these sort of automatic battles, little skirmishes. But it's interesting. It's got RPG elements and very story-driven, lots of character development. I think in this one they're doing something unique where if a character dies in the game, they die. And it affects the story later on. So, you know, one of your allies dies, you may not get their help later on in the game, that sort of a thing. It looks pretty cool. It's not my type of game, but anyway, what do you guys think?
I've never played any of the Radiant games, but I hear that they're pretty popular, so I might give it a shot just because I've never played one before.
Yeah.
I've never played them, so I'm not sure.
I've heard great things about them, but I've never played them. Mm-hmm. And they're...
And we had a Facebook question about them.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, he was just asking what we thought of the new additions to Fire Emblem and Fire Emblem Awakening. Uh-huh. So I guess you just answered that because nobody else has played.
Because we did something on it. I know with one of the character profiles that Katie did, she talked about the new one. And you guys know Marth from the Smash Brothers games. She did a whole history of him. And apparently there's a character that's in Fire Emblem Awakening that's has a mask that looks like Marth.
Says he's Marth or something like that.
Yeah, there's a mystery character. So that's one of the new elements, I guess, in this one. But the story is always really good. And, you know, the games are like 40, 50-hour games. You know, they're really in-depth. Lots of stuff to do, level up your characters, use different classes. I think I'll give it a shot since I haven't played the one on the Wii. So.
And the last thing I have from Nintendo Direct is new Super Mario Bros. 2 DLC. Coming out, which they look pretty good. And that's actually another game I gotta buy. Going back to the reason why I think I would like Mario Brothers U, so I probably should go and give this a chance and download it and get the free levels that are out now before, was it January 31st? So grab those.
Yeah, I really wanted to go pick up New Super Mario Brothers 2 before, or when I heard about it, but never got around to it, so that's another one I gotta go pick up.
You can download it.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of just, I don't know. I don't like digital. I like to have the actual physical copy of the game in my hand. I'm old school like that, so.
Well, it's nice to be able to use it on other systems easier, things like that, so.
Yeah.
My stepson's got a 3DS too, so we kind of like got to share and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, until they get the Nintendo Network ID on 3DS, yeah, you kind of have to get the retail.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
One thing that you're totally skipping over is the Tokyo crash mobs throwing people.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually posting something during that. I didn't actually see any footage.
Yeah, basically you're a person and you can grab people and you throw them at other people. Like, it's just that simple. It's it looks like a simple, joyful game to play.
Yeah. It's kind of strange.
When I was in meetings during the start of the Nintendo Direct, I actually joined, started watching during that. I was like, what the heck is this? This is what the Nintendo Direct is.
Yeah. You know, if the price is right, I would give it a try.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of reminded me, I think I saw some footage of it later, but kind of reminds me of Denpa Men. Just the quirkiness of it.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're getting a lot of those quirky Japanese games in the US now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those are the funnest games though. So
yeah. No, it's true.
Anything else you guys gleaned from Nintendo Direct or you thought was missing from Nintendo Direct that should have been talked about?
TV. Yeah.
You guys said it was coming in December. Where was it?
Yeah. Whoops.
It's 2013. I'm almost positive of that.
Yeah, well, I actually emailed Nintendo today, and they said they don't have anything to announce at this time. That was her response to me. But, yeah, they said December.
Early December.
Well, they just said December, didn't they?
In the early December.
I thought they just said December, but...
Yeah,
I remember just December.
Yeah, so there's still time, I think, that they could. Like next week, there's still time to do it. When you get closer and closer to Christmas, it's hard to do a release without people overlooking it or not caring, you know? People are with families, and, you know, they don't check a Nintendo download or whatever, so...
Right.
Yeah, I think if they do it next week... Sometimes Nintendo's done that before where... You know, they just send out a press release like Friday morning or Monday or Tuesday, and they're like, oh, here it is. Download it now. You know? So it could still happen, but yeah, it's frustrating because a lot of the stuff seemed like it was ready to go for launch day. You know, they showed all this cool stuff, announced Nintendo TV, you know, a couple months in advance. It looked like it was pretty mature. And then they're like, oh, it's not ready. Oh, you have to download an update when you buy the Wii U. Oh, you have to, Amazon and Hulu and Netflix were adding later, you know. So, I don't know. It doesn't bode well, but I'm hoping it still comes.
Mm-hmm.
Agree. All right, now moving on to our main topic. Where does Nintendo go from here? Not with just the Wii U, but just as a company in general. But I want to start with the Wii U. Two questions. What do you expect to happen with the Wii U in 2013? And what do you want to happen with the Wii U in 2013? And we'll start with Matt.
All right. I think Nintendo is going to, and I don't know if it'll be 2013. It might be. I think we'll see them phasing out the 8-gigabyte models of the Wii U simply because of all these, you know, updates that are happening. That first one took out a healthy chunk of that 8-gigabyte memory in there. And then we just got another one that was another huge, you know, chunk of the memory. And that's just slowly eating it away. And if you look at the sales numbers, you're seeing like that high percentage of the deluxe editions being sold, but maybe not so much of the 8-gigabyte editions. I think Nintendo's going to start seeing that, and they might, you know, just kind of phase out. The 32 is going to be the standard, and I don't know. It might just stay 32. We might see a larger one.
Before or something? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Justin?
Yeah, well, let's see. So what do I expect? Yeah, I think it'll be interesting what they do with the 2 game pads next year. Mm-hmm. They've talked about doing 2 game pad games. So I think we may see a glimpse of that at E3, and maybe 1 or 2 will be released by the end of next year or something like that. I don't see a whole lot of support for it initially. Hoping I'm wrong, but you know, as long as it took developers to make, you know, ports of games for the Wii U work, and you know, they're still having, you know, optimization issues, frame rate issues. It seems like, you know, dual gamepad games could still be, you know, 2014 maybe. But I think they'll try and, you know, get them out there to combat any potential announcements from Sony or Microsoft. And I think you're going to have a bunch of big games announced next year, possibly, you know, like a new Mario Galaxy universe, or maybe Metroid or Donkey Kong, some big franchise where, you know, they can combat that next holiday season. And it'll be, you know, going to the Wii U second year. I think they'll have a lot of momentum from that. See what I want to see from them. I would love to see a new Metroid game announced. And I would love Pikmin 3 to come out as soon as possible. And the list goes on. I'll let someone else.
J-Money?
What I think we should expect to see from Nintendo is probably a lot of game announcements. I think they're just going to hit us over and over and over with game announcements. And I really hope that's true, because I'm really looking forward to playing more games and seeing what else Nintendo's got. What do I want? I definitely want to see dual game pads. And I want them to continue improving on not necessarily the system, like just hitting us with system updates, but like improving on the apps that are already there, like Miiverse, and really fleshing those out into what they could actually potentially become, which could be really big.
Yeah.
Ben?
I guess for me, well, I guess you want to know. Well, I'll just start with what I'd like to see, which I don't think there's much of a chance of this, but I still would like to see, like, I'm loving the Miiverse and the social aspects. I'd like to see it move a little bit more towards some of the traditional, like we've seen with other systems, where you can actually post onto either Facebook or Twitter or have that social media aspect that you can reach out, because then you're just going to be able to grow that audience even more rather than just your Wii owners or things like that. Like, you could, you know, have a message that would go out to family, or people would be able to see it that way. So I would like to see, I guess, some more of the, just the social part just expanded even more.
Yeah.
And it could be possible. It could happen.
Yeah, like, so if you defeat a Mario Brothers U level without taking damage, instead of just posting it to Miiverse, you can post it to Facebook or Twitter.
So all my friends know
how awesome you are.
And unfollow.
Yeah.
Unfollow. Oh, unfollow. Yeah. What I expect to see, and actually I want to see at the same time, is I want to see that one big Nintendo franchise. Justin kind of touched on this, is that one or the other, Sony or Microsoft, are going to be releasing the new system in 2013. Nintendo needs to challenge that with something, be like, hey, here's their system, here's what they can do, but here, look what we can do. Here's our new Galaxy-looking game, or here's our, even my hope, here's a new Zelda game or Metroid. Like, here's how we're going to counteract. Because a lot of people are already poo-pooing the Wii U with graphical power-wise with the PlayStation or PlayStation 4 or whatever their code name they're calling it now.
Like Orbis or something.
Orbis, whatever, yeah. So they're going to have that's going to be a challenge for them in the end of 2013. And like what Jay Money touched on, it's going to have to be games. It's going to have to be software. They have this gamepad that uses this interest technology for your input into games. They're going to have to come out with two game pads, be able to use two game pads, and be like, hey, yeah, you can play these high-end graphic games. You can't see my quotes. Or you can play something different and unusual with the game pads. And so that's what I want to see out of Nintendo. I want them, they came out swinging, they need to continue swinging. They don't need to take the foot off the pedal or off the neck of Sony or Microsoft. They just need to continue pushing forward and not rest on what they've already started, which they've done in the past, I'll admit. But hopefully they can keep it going, because they have a battle ahead of them with the release of the new systems next year.
Yeah, I think Nintendo has an advantage too now, because they can, you know, they've got their system out there. It looks like the stock is doing pretty well. They're getting it out. But yeah, they just need to have just a ton of game announcements. There was one E3, it was a few years ago, where there's one where they announced Donkey Kong Country Returns, and they had like 25 game announcements during their press conference. Mm-hmm. Really cool, game after game, and you know, the fans loved it, and you know, that year was like the biggest year for the Wii. After that, it was, you know, kind of a trickle to the end to where the Wii U came out. But yeah, they need to keep that momentum up, show what Wii U games can look like. You know, some of these Wii U games are running at 720p, or they're, you know, got frame rate issues, things like that. You know, show us what, you know, the Wii U can do. And like you said, show a franchise that could, you know, do that, like Metroid or Zelda, that really pushes the envelope, that says, hey, developers, you know, third parties, this is what it can do. You know, mm-hmm. You know, let's see your games do it too. So, yeah, I think that'll be big.
Let's take a look. Well, I would say just take a look at the last E3. No one really had a big showing. Not even Nintendo did. But just mm-hmm. by the pure fact that Pikmin was showed off, Nintendo automatically won E3 just with Pikmin. So let's say they go show a Metroid game out, a new Star Fox game out. Who cares what the other people announce? No one's going to have the launch lineup the Wii U had. So yeah, they're going to get a lot of hype from E3. But if you throw in Metroid, Star Fox, a Kirby game, this whole bunch of games, that's going to steal a lot of the hype from Sony or Microsoft, because they're not going to have that software power that Nintendo could have easily at E3.
So do you guys feel that Nintendo needs to pace themselves a little better with game releases?
Not through this year, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think through this year, I mean, they could still space it out, but they could announce a lot.
Yeah.
You know, let's say they announced a Mario, you know, Mario Galaxy or Universe or whatever, a Metroid.
Or showed like a 15-second trailer of Zelda that's 2 years out. Just that right. purely.
Yeah. you keep building that hype and just space it out. You know, hey, okay, Zelda's further off. Metroid will come just before that. Mario will come before all three of them, you know, that sort of thing. Nintendo did a good job of that the first 4 years of the Wii. I mean, there was just software all over the place. They were, you know, releasing good titles every 2-3 months. But then, you know, other than Skyward Sword, Xenoblade, and The Last Story, and some of those were, you know, the biggest games for a 2-year span for the Wii. So they've got to keep the momentum going throughout the whole life of the console. But I think they have an advantage because, you know, Microsoft and Sony, they're still developing their systems. They haven't even announced anything. Right. You know, I could potentially see like PS4, you know, not even making, you know, holiday next year. And if it does, it would be, you know, limited functionality and, you know, just kind of limping out the gate. You know, Microsoft may be a little bit closer since their system's been out for 7 years. You know, they've been developing the Kinect, and you know, maybe their system is a little bit closer to release, so it could be next holiday. But I don't know, Sony, with what they did with the Vita, you know, that didn't release until, like, because they were trying to do like a holiday release to try and combat some of the holiday fever for the 3DS, and then it got bumped and pushed all the way till
February.
It was like, yeah, February or March. It was some weird time, but. Anyways, I see that happening with the PS4, so Nintendo needs to take advantage of that, know that they've got their system out there, like Justin said, keep, you know, developing those apps, you know, make that ecosystem stronger, get developers to make more games, and if Nintendo can get all the third-party games, like, you know, Splinter Cell, BioShock Infinite, you know, stuff like that throughout next year, you know, I think it'll be really big.
And I don't really want to start a war or anything here, but Sony and Microsoft, if they're really going to try and outpower Nintendo, I don't see how they're going to be able to keep the consoles cheap. Mm-hmm. That's one issue I think they're going to run up against.
And I think we had that. We had the talk at the Wii launch with a developer friend of ours, because a lot of those are all rumors that Sony's going to go 4K with the resolution. Mm-hmm. Well, he was like, "Yeah, if they do that 4K, that's going to triple production costs of games." and it's already super high for developers. And so, yeah, you may get those 4K games, but they will be far in between, like a God of War maybe 4K, but then rest of them will be normal 720 or 1080. So yeah, that technology may look cool, but developers are going to stay away from that just because of the pure production cost of getting something up to 4K.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, there's not a lot of TVs for 4K right now.
Yeah.
On that, but.
Yeah, and they were saying like it would support it like for video playback and possibly like some TV games or something. But for the most part, everything would be 1080p across the board or whatever. But yeah, even that, even 1080p, that's going to bump costs up. You know, because a lot of games right now, they're like, oh, we just need to worry about being at 720. You know, so, you know, you get
even
games
that.
You get games that are required to be at 1080p on the PS4. You know, you may just have like the biggest third party developers on there to start with, because they're the only ones that could afford it.
Yeah, like the PlayStation, I can think of like Uncharted, like 1080p,
mm-hmm.
God of War's 1080p.
Mm-hmm.
Like Madden's a weirdly 1080p for some reason. But like those are, there's only like a handful of actual games that are 1080p.
Yep.
On Microsoft, on PlayStation right now.
Yeah. So. Maybe.
I had another thought, but it left me. Anything else, Matt? You have anything to say? You've been quiet. You have a Wii U.
Yes, I do. And it's great fun. I mean, I know what you're saying about the 1080p's.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones will be the big sellers for the next console cycle, which, I mean, we're definitely going to hear something this next E3 from Microsoft and Sony about, you know, their next generation consoles. And people at E3 who reported at E3 this past year, I've already talked about some of these games being demonstrated on, you know, quote-unquote, high-end PCs.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, you know, developers are already planning for these games. Like, one example is Star Wars 1313.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
That one was also demonstrated on a high-end PC.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that developers are already out there, you know, getting ready to support these new consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And while I do agree that it will be more expensive, I think it'll be the people who can afford it, the developing companies who can afford it will afford it. Those who can't, you know, probably won't be pressured. And we see that example with the PSN store and, you know, the Wii's store and Xbox Live Arcade. We're seeing, you know, those far less expensive games being out there and, you know, getting more and more notoriety. So I think people are seeing that graphical power isn't everything, and that gameplay is going to be more and more important. So with these higher end PCs, these new consoles, you're just going to see a broader range of games, not just necessarily exclusively higher end games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
There was I actually do want to bring this. I don't know. This was in Jay Money sent me this article. I should have sent to you guys. I don't know if I read it there, if I read it somewhere else, but it was rumors about next generation. And
I talked about
Nintendo. Well, they the next PlayStation won't be that much more powerful than Wii U, because it'd be more family friendly, which the CEO talked about last E3. Well, he mentioned briefly, because it brings in a whole different casual demographic. But they said that the Microsoft is actually going to go super powerful. Like, they're going to take the PlayStation route this time and try to be the most powerful system.
Mm-hmm.
But a weird, interesting rumor for Nintendo was that they're looking to maybe not necessarily purchase third-party game developers, but kind of, I'm trying to get the word, loan money to them, throw money at them.
I've got the article up, actually.
Yeah. I'm trying to have the phrase. They wouldn't necessarily like buy them straight up, but yet kind of have control over more third parties. So get out there, kind of like,
like partner up more.
Yeah,
and that's kind of interesting.
A little more than partner, but it wasn't yet
buying outright. Funding projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, hey, we want GTA 5. Here you go.
Yeah,
right. Here's the money. produce it, and we got, they have the final word on what it's gonna be or look like or act.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rumor is that Nintendo's got a couple more of those Bayonetta sort of announcements coming.
Cool.
That are essentially bigger than Bayonetta is what the rumor says.
Mm-hmm. Let's just hope we don't get the Bayonetta sort of reactions from the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, because it's a double-edged sword, really, because most people don't like Nintendo because they're big or whatever. Same reason why people don't like Apple or anyone who's super successful at something and is the big shot or whatever in the industry. As soon as they start doing that, I could see some backlash of people like, oh, I'm not going to get Nintendo because they're just buying games, they're. So hopefully that doesn't have a negative effect on Nintendo, but.
As long as the games are good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the games will speak for themselves, and a lot of the people who had the backlash about Bayonetta 2, I think will realistically buy it. I think a lot of them are excited about it, but they're just, I guess, mad of the exclusivity.
But, I kind of could see people being initially upset, but I agree that they'll probably end up buying it just because it's like the sequel to the first game or whatever.
Yeah. So, and it makes a lot of sense, that rumor, if it, turns out to be true. But, Nintendo was really buddy-buddy with Ubisoft at the past two E3s, and even the developer roundtable was actually with Ubisoft. They're working closer with third parties, and with Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge, they're like, hey, we'll help you make it more fun and a better game, because the first one got terrible reviews and fans didn't like it. And then you have Bayonetta 2, so you have three examples right there of Nintendo, getting into that sort of thing.
Do you think that's kind of what Nintendo's future could go towards? Like, they still develop, make their own games, but going out there helping other people make games is kind of like a more revenue coming in, be like, hey, well, we're bringing Bayonetta back to life. Or, like, they go out and bring Time Splitters back to life and bring it to Nintendo Wii and be like, here's a bunch of money, make it for us. We'll bring it to the Wii U. Mm-hmm. And then we'll move on from there. So you can see Nintendo kind of going that direction with their company, but usually it's just their stuff. Nintendo does what Nintendo does, and everyone else does whatever they do.
Criticism that Nintendo has had has been the third-party support.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be their way of being like, no, we love third parties. This is how we're going to do third parties now.
I think Nintendo just needs more than money for these third-party developers. They need to also, maybe send somebody for some of these bigger games to, explain the technology and tell them how it works.
Well, so supposedly Miyamoto was going around.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Yeah, so it sounds like they're getting, directorial advice and consulting almost, as well as development help. And Miyamoto, I guess, over the next several months is going to be visiting developers, trying to get their games on the Wii U. So that's pretty cool stuff. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, it makes complete sense. I mean, your third parties do well, your system does well.
Yep.
So, exactly. Why not invest some of your assets into, people that are going to make your system or your company look the best.
Yeah. Well, just look at the other consoles like Sony and Microsoft. They each have their own, they have Halo and then God of War. But what really carries them is like Madden's, Call of Duties.
Exactly.
That's all I can think of. But those two games are big carrying for both those systems.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're both third parties.
And it's kind of a different philosophy with Nintendo. They kind of sell their system with a profit, and that's where they make most of their money. Now with the Wii U kind of being sold at a little bit of a loss, I think Nintendo sees, hey, we do have to get these third-party contracts. We do have to, work with developers, make it easy for them, make our tools easy to use. because, you know, that's how Microsoft and Sony made a lot of money this generation. They just, you know, license their stuff. They'll publish some games that developers have. They'll, like, hey, make it on our system, make it easy to develop for, and, you know, then they make money off the system late in its life, and they make money off the software sales. Mm-hmm. So I think it's smart all around for them.
Everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. And the fans win.
So. And we win, exactly.
But most importantly.
Most importantly.
Yeah.
But a quick question to put you guys a little bit on the spot. I've already said mine, but what game would you want Nintendo to bring back to life? Like, mine would be Time Splitters. Like, go ahead and get that finished up. Mm-hmm. And then if we had Bayonetta 2, what kind of dying franchise or game would you like to see a sequel to, or third installment? I guess it doesn't really matter. But something that probably could be dead. We need thinking music, dude.
Yeah,
exactly.
maybe a F-Zero.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What were you gonna say, Matt?
That I was thinking actually F-Zero.
Yeah. Yeah, because F-Zero. Yeah, I would probably put F-Zero high on the list, or Wave Racer 1080.
Ooh, who would you want to
develop it? You think Nintendo would do it or hand it off to someone else, kind of like they're doing with Smash?
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of interesting. Didn't Miyamoto say recently that he was surprised that people wanted another F-Zero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you like that game? Oh, okay. But yeah, maybe he was surprised because of sales, maybe? I don't know. You know, like, I don't know how well the GameCube one sold or the 64 one, but I always thought they were fun games. But yeah, like a Wave Race would just be awesome. And especially if Nintendo do it, Nintendo did it, because Nintendo always does water very well. I don't know how many of you guys have played Mario Sunshine, but the water in that's incredible. And water in Zelda games is always good. I thought Wave Race Blue Storm was really cool too, all the wave effects and stuff. But,
And I'm from what I've seen in the videos of Peepin 3, I'm really I'm liking the water effects in that also.
Yeah, see, they always do really, really good water. So that's a selling point for me. Good water.
Good water. No, yeah. Well, Darksiders, that's one of the things that we picked up on was the incredible water.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I don't know. Yeah, those types of things just shine, you know, like they set your game apart a little bit. They're like, oh, wow. You know, it's not just flat texture, you know, for water. It looks and moves like water.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, water's almost like a benchmark for, you know, how well an engine works, you know, a game engine.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just remember when High Voltage showed off their engine, water and fire, like those elements, is what they really bragged about. Like, hey, look at our fire, look at our water in this engine.
Let's yeah. Anything dynamic that you can show off like that is very. Mm-hmm. Anything, I just love anything in a game that reacts to what I do. You know, even like some of the symbols like bullet holes, you know, even if it's just like a, you know, changing the texture around it or something, but, you know, terrain deformation in Red Faction games or, you know, that sort of stuff that immediately reacts to what you do, like, oh, wow, I can completely manipulate this. Or
the fire in Fallout. Remember, you can catch almost anything on fire?
Yep. And you know, same thing in Far Cry 2, where the fire would propagate. And I guess they have that in Far Cry 3 now too. But anyways, sorry. What other franchises do you guys want?
I would like to see the Grindr come back.
Oh yeah,
I was really excited to see that game from High Voltage. It just popped in my head when somebody mentioned him just now, and I haven't heard anything like since they announced it.
Well, we played a version 2 years ago. It was the Xbox version.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we have Wii version, too. That was, what, two and threes ago.
Yeah, that's probably 3 years ago now, yeah.
Three.
The Xbox version was like, it was a top-down four-person co-op. Yeah. I'm trying to remember games that are similar to it. Anyways.
Wait, but it's like top-down co-op?
Yeah, so it's like top-down, kind of a pseudo 3D layout, not completely top-down.
So kind of like a Smash TV?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it's like a beat-em-up, but they had different character classes. So think like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but...
Well, kind of remind me of that...
kind of top-down.
Lord of the Rings game that came out one time.
Oh, yeah.
Different characters. And like you can be an elf, of course, with the bow and whatever. So it's kind of like that, where each character had different weapons with different skill sets. Like, yeah. You all just running around together.
Yeah, and it sounded like they were focusing on the development of that version. Mm-hmm. They said the Wii one was still planning on being first-person shooter, but...
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah, and then we never heard of it ever again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's another game they made, Animales de Muerta, or De La Muerta or something.
Oh, yeah. Animals of Death?
Yeah, that one looked interesting also.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like last time we talked to them, they were working on some games to kind of sustain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Working on games that would make some money here and there so they could fund some of those more creative projects in their own franchises sort of thing. But,
yeah. Quite a bunch of guys, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All
right.
Wait, I got one.
Mm-hmm.
Okami.
Ooh, Okami, yeah.
We have that gamepad now.
Mm-hmm.
That would just lend itself to some incredible gameplay.
Do you want the gyroscope used? You got to tilt the gamepad to move the... Oh, I'm thinking of, sorry, something else. But yeah, you're right. I'm thinking of...
Oh, you're thinking of Odami?
Odami, yeah. With the ball we collect things.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's like a marble pinball thing.
Yeah.
But with soldiers. it was pretty weird. I'm going to have to look that up.
All right, so to wrap this podcast up, what are you guys playing currently? And talk about it a little bit. Are you enjoying it? Are you hating it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did want to mention a couple of games that Level 5 has recently come out with. For one, I was playing through some of the Liberation Maiden for the 3DS. And interesting concept. You're playing as the Japanese president's daughter in like this mech suit. And basically, you are trying to take out the evil corporations that have taken over Japan. It's actually really fun. It kind of makes me think a little bit of now the name escapes me. But Sin and Punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The controls are a little bit difficult, but I mean, it's once you get the controls down, it's a lot of fun. So I've been playing through some of that. Another game that Level 5 just came out was with the Arrow Porter game. I think you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're controlling the baggage conveyor belts at an airport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a simple concept, but the game will keep you going for more and more. Like, it's something that you would pick up to play for, like, to just to kill some time. Like, oh, look, I have 5 minutes to kill some time. And then you look at the clock and, oh, shit, crap, it's 3 hours later. So it's really addicting. It's really neat how you can, change between the level. Like, it starts with, like, one level of conveyor belts, and then you end up having, like, five or six levels of conveyor belts. And you've got time restraints you got to get. You have certain colors you have to get in certain areas. So it actually turns out to be a complex little game there. Hmm. So that's some of the stuff I've been playing right now on the 3DS. Anyone else playing a game?
Can I just say that I found it odd that you sounded way more exciting talking about conveyor belts than you were about talking about a giant robot fighting game?
I know. It's ridiculous. It really is. But the conveyor belts, oh my gosh, I can't put it down.
Yeah. Those simple games.
I've been playing Trine 2, which is absolutely stunning. It's a beautiful game. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of content, a ton of puzzles, some of them more difficult than others. For the most part, they seem fairly straightforward and simple, but there are a few that I've spent quite a bit of time on. Mm-hmm. But definitely recommend that game. And I've also been playing Chasing Aurora, which is a great multiplayer game, great with friends. A single player starts a little slow, but it gets better. But that's like you're flying around as birds and stuff, and they've got like a hide and seek mode and freeze tag, and it's interesting, and the controls are really simple, but it's a lot of fun when you get a lot of friends together.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been playing, Call of Duty recently. James and Kevin and I were playing some zombie co-op online.
Oh, nice.
And that's pretty fun. I played basically all last night just off TV. And so that was really fun. And then, let's see what else. Assassin's Creed 3, Darksiders 2.
Yeah, I've seen your stack of games, Justin. You're playing them all. All of it. Just say all of them.
It's really hard. It's hard to get to all.
How does Call of Duty look? I was asking James about that earlier.
Yeah, it looks really good. I mean, all last night was on the gamepad, but on the screen it looks great too. You know, I played some single player a couple nights ago, and that was good. What do you think, James? You've played through more of it.
I really like it. There's been a few issues. I don't know if it's the game or the Wii U, where like frame rate drops, or like even one point where I tried to zoom into my scope and the whole scope view was gone.
Oh.
Like it was just like my eyes were zooming in. Like it was zooming in, but then there was like nothing else.
There's so no scope graphic.
There was no scope graphic or any crosshairs or anything. So that was a little weird. Yeah. And make it a little more difficult to shoot things. So besides that, like it's one of my favorite Call of Duties. I didn't play the last Call of Duty, but I like it better than Black Ops. I like it better than Modern Warfare. Not 2, but the first one. Yeah. But it's a good game. I'm enjoying online fun. Zombies are better than the last Zombies and Black Ops.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Zombies are hard. Like it should be.
Yeah. It's a lot of variety to it, too.
Yeah. That's good. Matt, what did you get with your Wii U?
Well, I bought the deluxe bundle with the Nintendo Land here.
Nice. Ooh.
So I just finished that up, turned in the review, so that'll be going out soon. So now that I'm done with that, I suppose I will work on some Super Mario Brothers U.
Yes. As you should.
I just got past World 2, and that's definitely the point. I already read a review previous to me purchasing the Wii U that said, you know, it was a really good quote. It was, I thought I was getting just another, you know, Super Mario side scroller, but then after I beat World 2, I realized what kind of game I had. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much true right at that point. Mm-hmm. So I definitely cannot wait to see what this game has in store.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It gets better and better.
Is where it's at, huh?
Well, that's, I guess, pretty much it for this podcast. We've got one more for this year, and that would be our look back at 2012.
Aw, that sounds sentimental.
We'll take a look back at everything. We'll look back at ourselves, look back at Nintendo.
Favorite games.
I'll be looking back at the previous podcast, because now that I got this Wii U, I think I have some rebuttals I'd like to bring up.
That would be fine. But I want to leave with this comment I heard. It was on a Wii U review. I want to say it was Kotaku. The person said, because it was everyone in the comments is bashing the Wii U graphically and all that, but person's like, a true gamer is going to have more than one system. Mm-hmm. If you're a true gamer, you're going to have, he's like, and the guy person used himself as an example, he's like, I had a Wii for all the Mario's and Zelda games. I have Xbox for Halo and PlayStation for God of War. He's like, so I don't know why people are complaining that they're not going to say I'm not buying a Wii U. You're going to buy the Wii U. Mm-hmm. You can buy it for the Zelda games. You're a true gamer. You're not really tied to one system because you want to play more than everything. So
all of the games.
All the games. Everything. You want to play. And so, and I think it's true for probably almost all of us here too. We all had at least our computer. We played a lot of computer games and had the Wii or had 360 Wii, PlayStation Wii, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The PC is really PC and the Wii. Wii U, so.
Mm-hmm. So I'll leave with that. Until next time, our last podcast of the Doomsday podcast, Shame on
the Doomsday.
Yeah. We may do a podcast after that if the world is still alive.
If we're still around.
The last podcast before the end of the world.
Nice. I like
it. Not the last console then? Nintendo.
Yeah.
Right. Well played. Yeah.
That's why they did it, I bet.
They wanted the last word.
Yeah.
All right. Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.